bringing you key insights, tips, and advice from the brightest minds in the Canadian franchise industry. This is the Franchise Canada Chats podcast. I'm Gary Prenevost, your host of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast, where we take you into the world of franchising. Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats will feature interviews with franchisees, franchisors, and industry leaders sharing key insights and expert advice on navigating challenges on their path to success. Franchise Canada Chats is brought to you by FranNet, Canada's franchise matchmaking experts. At FranNet, we help you to build your optimum business model. Then we introduce you to well-suited franchise options. Then, most importantly, we coach you through all aspects of your research so that you can arrive at an informed and defensible yes or no decision. Hello, everyone in Canada franchise land. This is Gary Prenevost, president of FranNet of Southern Ontario and author of the just released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee. It's my pleasure today to welcome our guests. We are with Jordan Levine, COO of Sola Salons, and Larry Lloyd, a franchisee in Whitby. Jordan brought over 20 years of franchise experience to Sola as an executive director after working as a franchisee and area developer for Cold Stone Creamery for over 10 years. So lots of perspective there. Larry Lloyd brings over his experience as a realtor to becoming a franchisee in Sola Salons, which is a perfect fit for the brand's real estate rental model. We're excited to speak to them both today about the franchisor-franchisee relationship, their experiences in franchising, and the beauty industry at large. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Jordan, let's start with you. Could you please tell us a bit about the Sola Salons model?
Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having us both. And it's great to see Larry as well. I wish we were all in person, but here we are. Sola Salons is a, so we're sitting right now at about 650 plus locations in the US and Canada. And the Sola Salons model in many ways is a real estate model where we're sort of renting out space to beauty professionals, predominantly hair. And what happens is people decide they want to kind of experience independence, and they may be working in a traditional salon and they say, you know what, I want my own hours. I don't want to work the Saturday that you're requiring me to work. And, you know, I also want to make the amount of money I want to make. And instead of making an hourly or a commission, I get to make it all. And so really what we're appealing to is about right now, currently we have about 20,000 beauty professionals in our system that have decided they want freedom and they want to take control. And the model is for our franchisees in many ways a real estate play, but I also think that undersells it. And I think the big differentiator for Sola is how we create a sense of community, how you get to be a part of the industry leader, but we provide a lot of educational opportunities, both in person and virtual. We provide a turnkey solution. So not only do you get your four walls that you get to envision and customize to be your own, but you're also getting a slew of tools from digital booking software to your own Sola website, et cetera. And so I think that we try to be more than just a real estate play. We really strive to be a permanent home and a solution to the beauty professionals that really want to experience independence. And we help them in every step of the way hold their hand to success.
And thank you for that. And when I think about a real estate play for our listeners, it's, you know, what is the typical square footage and how many individual units go into the center that you're renting those out?
Yeah. So, I mean, we vary a lot. And I would say that over time, our locations have actually skewed larger because the demand is so strong. I guess high class problem to have when you get demand and you know what your demand is and you can forecast your demand. Our locations have largely gotten larger as we've gone. Now, I think a lot of what I'm going to talk about is predominantly in the U.S. because Canada is still new for us and it's our next frontier. Now, in the U.S., I would say, you know, we used to be maybe 6,500 to 7,000 square feet, and now we're opening locations 10,000 square feet plus. And so it's exciting because what we're even seeing, this is sort of bizarre, again, also in the U.S., a trend we're seeing is, you know, we joke around about how there's a Starbucks next door to a Starbucks or across from a Starbucks, but we're opening locations next to ourselves. You know, sometimes you do an expansion, sometimes the adjacent space isn't available, so you open three doors down or across the street. And we're seeing folks doing that. I think it's a wonderful thing when you know what your demand is and you can forecast it and you can fill additional space. Now, again, Canada's new for us. And we have now, I think Larry was our fifth location in the Canadian market. It's a new frontier for us. And so we're extremely excited to explore what the possibilities are in Canada. And, you know, Larry is a great example of an early adopter. He saw what we were doing in the United States and said, wow, this could work in Canada too. And so we're thrilled to be able to enter that market now. And Larry being one of those folks that's helping us do that.
And I've had one of my clients buy the Sola, and as they were going through the process, I got to learn about the validation and how strong it is, the business model. One of the things that I was particularly impressed with is when you look at the franchisee base that you have, many franchisee of your Sola franchisees are franchisors who are late stage career, and this is where they choose to set their retirement. So that speaks volumes about people who've been in the industry for many years choosing your model. So Larry, how about yourself? Tell us about your background, your experience. What drew you to franchising and specifically to Sola?
Well, it's kind of interesting because before I was a real estate in the real estate field, I was a teacher. So I'm very learning based, and I had the good fortune of getting involved in ownership in a franchise in real estate called Keller Williams, and I got to learn a lot from that. So it was a big impetus in choosing Sola, you know, as our destination in this field, which I saw in Arizona, as Jordan alluded to. And it kind of represented everything that, you know, we're up to there as well. And linking that together, and we've set up shop right next door to our 14,000 square foot of real estate. So, you know, we're in a very strong position in our location on our very first one.
So when you look at, you got the presence from the community with your current that real estate business, and now you've opened up Sola. How do you drum up business and create awareness in the community for Sola?
Well, I mean, it's interesting with the people that you're attracting. You know, social media is by far and away, you know, seems to be the biggest single, you know, venue that we're using, whether it's, you know, it's Instagram or Facebook or, you know, we are attracting interest that way. One of the difficulties we're having in Canada, as Jordan has explained, we're only number five. So, you know, we need to sell, you know, what we're up to, because even in that field, it's not well known. So, you know, explaining to people what we're up to and then explaining to them how they could operate in that environment, you know, it adds an extra challenge, but it's certainly one that will pay off once we get it rolling.
Okay, so it might be a good segue, Jordan, back to you. When you think about the ideal franchisee, you've only got a few here. So what are the traits and characteristics that you look for in an ideal franchisee?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think not every single person is suited for franchising, and not every person is suited for franchising of even our Sola, which we're very proud of, and frankly, very protective of protecting the culture. And you alluded to something earlier, Gary, about the quality of our franchisees. I've been in franchising, as I think you said at the beginning, 20 plus years. I don't want to actually put an actual number to that, but I think I was 3 years old when I started in franchising, maybe four. I don't remember at that point. But you know, the point is we have franchisees that are quite sophisticated in our system. Like you said, folks that have incredible franchising backgrounds that have chosen to come to Sola for a number of reasons. But I think probably arguably one of the more important reasons right now is the low labor model that is what Sola brings to the table. I think that's extremely attractive to people right now. So your question about, you know, what do we look for in a franchisee? Well, I mean, there's the basics, right? You want to make sure they have the capital and the business acumen. But I think a cultural play is very important. You're talking about an average location that may have 30 plus beauty professionals in that location. And to be able to work with and foster relationships with those folks is what keeps people sticky into the Sola brand. It's why people want to affiliate with us. It's why they want to join us and why they stay. And when I say things like, you know, we're not just a real estate play, I think that's the differentiator. When you go into our most successful franchisee locations and you talk to that owner and you say, why are you so successful? And what is your biggest differentiator? They're not going to point to anything on a piece of paper. They're not going to point to the four walls. They're going to point to themselves and the relationship that they have fostered with their beauty professionals in their space. We call them Sola Pros. That is probably the most important thing. So you look for that when you're talking to the folks like Larry or other franchise prospects that come through the system. You're looking for people that are really, really good at creating culture. You're looking for people that have an ease of connecting with people, making people feel special, helping them along their career journey. And I think the word that I would use is the word care. There's a lot of people that are looking for investments. We're looking for people that have a sense of care to them, that it's more than an investment, it becomes a passion. And you look at someone like Larry is a great example. Sorry, Larry, we'll put you on the spot. But it was just so clear, you know, Larry and I got to spend some time together when we toured mid-COVID, a very bizarre time to spend in Toronto during the height of COVID. And we could probably talk about that later at length. But, you know, just sitting there with Larry, you just get a sense of the care that he brings and the passion that he brings. And that's what we look for. You know, you can see everything else on a resume. You can look at a financial statement. That to me is table stakes. It's the culture that you're going to create with your beauty professionals that is what differentiates us. And that's what we have to protect at Sola. So, you know, hats off to Larry. Larry is the perfect person to be a steward of our brand.
The subject of culture and the subject of the relationships is really important to me. With the book that I wrote that was just released on achieving next level growth and top performance, relationships at the franchisee franchisor level is interdependent. Like the whole element, it's so critical. And what I'm hearing you say is it comes down at the franchisee level to their customers, and it's a slightly different relationship with the customer because it's a long-term rental relationship, isn't it?
You know, so, it's funny that you say what you just said. It just sort of triggered a thought. You know, in the Sola brand, we almost have like this multi-tiered relationship, and so the relationship we have with our franchisee has with their beauty professional, and then the beauty professional has with their end user, their client. But in many ways, the relationship that we have with our franchisees is all about entrepreneurship, empowerment. It's all about setting up franchise owners to be the owner of their business and to realize the dream, right? Well, how is that any different from the relationship that the franchisee has with their 30 plus beauty professionals? It's to realize the dream, to envision what their life could be like if they could take control, and to empower entrepreneurs. And so in many ways, we are in a really unique model that the model that we have with our franchisees mimics the model our franchisee has with their beauty professionals. And that's quite unique. You know, the end user is one more notch down the journey, but you know, in most brands, you're selling a product to a customer. In our sense, being a business-to-business model that we are, we're selling a dream to our customer, and it is a long-term relationship.
And many years, not months, right? When it's done right.
When it's done right, yeah, absolutely.
So, Larry, you know, you've just heard what Jordan said about the traits and characteristics. How does that like share your perspective of that, please? And from maybe from the lens of, you know, our listeners who are thinking about becoming franchise owners, what are the things they need to be aware of?
Okay. I mean, it's really in parallel as you can. I mean, I am very, very clear on what culture means. I mean, in my words, you know, culture is you care about somebody at the level you're willing to share anything with them. And for those that are less fortunate, you are willing to help them out. So I really think that, you know, what we're talking about here is we often meet dependent people. You know, they've been independent situations. They've been working for in a salon with an owner. They have a chore, a job, a specific, something specific to do. They look at becoming, you know, independent. And in that, where they can actually, you get to see that together, you know, everyone, you know, is there's more available to you. So it's, I think that I really feel when people come to us, you know, culturally, like we really want them to understand that, you know, it's worthwhile building careers worth having. Because if you build a career worth having, you have a business worth owning. If you have a business worth owning, you have a life worth living. And so it really is quite clear what Jordan describes as culture, you know, from where I come and from, you know, how we are unfolding it to the people, you know, that we get to meet. So the alignment there is critical. The far and away the biggest piece. Money is money. This is, you know, making a difference in people's lives is way more than trying to optimize every dollar.
It's almost a calling, what you're saying. It's almost like a personal mission. And we find folks that understand that and that can relate to it and bring something to the table. You know, being able to help people is something that lives inside of you. And you know, making money is secondary. It will happen. The business is quite successful and will be successful when you understand the heart element to it.
Yes, we describe that as a way of being. How you show up in the world is as a way of being, and it's in that way of being that, you know, your heart is a major part of, you know, how you show up to people.
I've been in the Franet business for over 20 years, and I've said for many years, I've got one of the coolest businesses in the world. I get to literally help people change their lives. You know, when they buy a business, they go from that dependence, as you say, to interdependence over time. And it's really refreshing to see as I hear both of you share this model, how you bring it down to that hair care professional or the beauty professional, but on a level that they can afford, and it gives them that freedom and that quality of life. It's really cool. And I go back to what you said about interdependence. That's at the heart of a good franchise model, and you bring it down to the community level. So that's really cool. So when I think about the measuring success, Jordan, for you, you know, you've got 600 plus franchisees. How do you define and measure success in your system?
I think there's a lot of ways to define success. You can look at the individual unit level economics and look at success from that perspective. You can look at how our franchise satisfaction scores are. Not necessarily are people happy with me, but are they happy with the brand? You can also look at whether or not franchisees decide to open a second, third, or 10th unit. And to me, there is no better sign of how do we measure success than that. Yeah, we have every KPI, scorecard, data. We have a lot of that. We can look at the unit level and say, you know what, this franchisee is successful because they've hit an occupancy level of 100%. And, you know, all the different data points, that's one way of measuring success. But I think as we're talking through the lens right now of franchising, I think the level of success is best really defined by, do people want to do it again? And I don't know that entrepreneurs love the idea of making the same mistake twice. And we just don't see that. We see people continuing to want to grow because it's not the same mistake twice because of the success they had with their original units. And our franchise, we are a multi-unit business. So we have 650 plus locations. You know how many franchisees we have is more about 150. And Ooh. So you look at that and you say, you know what, people are doing this again, and they're doing it again, and they're doing it again. We have some very sophisticated franchisees in our system that have grown portfolios from this. And so that to me, when you say, how do you measure success? Nothing is a better measurement of success than opening your second, third, fourth, or 10th unit.
Enjoying the episode so far? Franchise Canada also has bi-monthly newsletters full of franchise opportunities. With Franchise Canada eNews, new content gets sent directly to your inbox, and you can keep up to date on the newest episodes of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast that you're listening to right now. Plus, you get a free subscription to Franchise Canada magazine. Join the 19,000 fellow franchisees, industry leaders, and aspiring entrepreneurs by subscribing at franchisecanada.online. Now, back to the episode.
And every franchisee defines success differently, don't they? There are different nuances of it, but it's they have to be aligned. We go back all the way back to culture. They have to be aligned with the culture first, so that they can live that culture in their own business.
Success can be, it doesn't always have to be a number. Success can be, just like our stylists get to choose whether they want to work 3 days a week, 4 days. We don't tell you, you have freedom. Well, our franchisees also get a level of freedom as well when they decide to open up any franchise for that matter. Now, you hope that it's a successful franchise that allows you to live the life that you want to live. And I believe Sola is that. But again, you can measure success through what money is in your bank account, through your KPIs. You can measure it through your quality of life. There's lots of ways of getting there. And that's up to each franchisee to determine, you know, what matters to them and what does success look like.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's talk for a bit, gentlemen, about the whole research process. Larry, you know, when you think about before you bought, how and where did you do your research before making the decision to join Sola?
So first of all, I had the good fortune of spending lots of time in Arizona. So I had the chance, I met a couple of people right off. Before I even met Jordan, I had talked to, you know, three or four different people about what they were doing, what it was up to. And I mean, it's always in those relationships that you get, I mean, culture gets defined very early, whether Jordan's, you know, Jordan's telling us exactly what it is, but I got to review it before I even met Jordan. So, you know, I think that was really an important piece. I'd like who those people are, who I'm going to be hanging out with is the game changer. So I get to choose that. And the early people that I met at Sola, because I'm relatively new at Sola, are just amazing people, you know. And why did they join Sola? Is the same answer why I'm joining Sola. They want to make a difference, you know. They want to have an impact, and you know, many of them have done other jobs at some level of success and are just bringing it to, you know, to this venue to carry on. And in my case, I wanted to be in business with my daughter. And I just wanted to, you know, create an entrepreneurial experience for her that, you know, and that's been amazing. And, you know, so, and once I know that they're learning based and have great training and, you know, I love the transparency that they bring. You don't find that everywhere. And so it was quite the journey took a little time, but, you know, as I went through it, there wasn't one situation that showed any kind of red light for me. Everybody was like, this is an amazing opportunity, you know, if you see fit. And so I found it quite easy.
I'd like to hear both your perspectives on this. And let's, instead of Sola, let's look a little bit more broadly. For our listeners thinking about franchise ownership, what advice would you give to people who are just starting to look at getting into franchising for the first time? Jordan, start with you.
Sure. Their franchise systems are a dime a dozen. There are so many franchise systems that are out there. I would say for someone that's just starting out that wants to explore what business ownership looks like and that wants to find a franchise to help them, you got to find something you love. This is going to be your life, and it's going to define who you are in many ways. And you're going to spend a lot of time and money and energy, hopefully, in whatever route you take. So it should be something that you enjoy. There has to be a passion there. There has to be a spark. If you're doing something that is someone else's passion, you're probably in the wrong franchise system. And so that would be the biggest advice I would give is follow your heart, follow your journey, follow your passion, and your results are going to pay dividends when you're exploring a business that reflects who you are.
Okay, Larry?
It's pretty simple for me. I think, first of all, you need to understand very clearly who you are. When you understand very clearly who you are, you have a much better chance of understanding the people you want to play the game with. And I've played many sports, and it's those teams that get you to see how much is available and how much is possible if everybody pulls in the same direction. So once you know yourself and how you want to show up in the world, it's much easier to find who you want to be in business with. And I think that clarity puts a lot of onus on you to understand what you're up to.
You know, I when I'm talking at the franchise shows and other elements, it's interesting. It's a kind of a blend of what you're both saying. A lot of people, they go to the shows, they go online, they're hoping that, I'll know it when I see it, type of feeling. And it doesn't happen very often because they're letting the market and the opportunities they're being pulled to things that might be cool or interesting, but they haven't taken enough time to really look at themselves. What are their skills? What are their skill gaps? What passion? What are the things that they're really good at? So we want them to, and we help them to build that model first and then make introductions to the businesses that fit. I want to come back on passion though. I think a lot of people buy a businesses prematurely because they have a passion for the product or service, but they don't have a passion for the work it takes to put that product or service in the customer's hands. So they might like the product, but if they really aren't enjoying what they're doing, that's still a misalignment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that, because people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And it's in that why that is where all the excitement is and the passion is. You know, because one of the things that I'm really on about is like, understand what's your big why? Where are you going? What do you want from your life? What dreams are there? What's possible? You know, what's next? What inspires you? So you're always looking, the one down a couple levels of what really makes you want to get up in the morning, put your feet in the floor and never stop moving because you're excited about what you do. Always searching for that level to be able to take people where they need to go, whether it's in understanding leadership or any of the other things that would be needed to run a good business.
That's fascinating, because it aligns a lot with some of the things that I found in my book. I believe, just staying on the subject of passion for a minute, I believe you have to have 100% conviction for the value proposition of the product or service suite. You have to love enough for the work it takes to put it into the customer's hands. What are the core drivers, the core work, be it leadership, be it operations, what are the different elements? So I think we're all on the same page there. So let's talk about the beauty industry. It's been one of the strongest industries for many years. It continues to explode, generating about $500 billion a year. How does the beauty, and especially to prospective franchisees?
Well, Larry can certainly talk to this as well, but I think that there is a movement happening right now in the beauty space. There's a movement away from traditional salons. And I think that is an important thing to just be aware of when you're looking at making an investment in a franchise. We live in a world in 2023, we thought the world changed in 2020. We thought again, it changed in 2021. And we thought again, it changed in 2022. And I don't know if you remember, in 2020, when everybody was talking about how they couldn't get employees. And again, everybody talked about that again in 2021, and it hasn't changed in 2023. And so there was a reason why people are having difficulty getting employees, because the employees are starting to take notice that there's something better for them out there. And they're starting to take notice that independence is an option in beauty. And it started with hair, and we're starting to see that trend go beyond hair into skincare, into waxing, into facials, into you name it in the beauty space, there is an option that's better. And so as we educate new markets, we're the leader. And so we are coming into new markets and when we come into a new market, there's an education phase that has to happen. Larry kind of alluded to that earlier. But as they start to see, and all it takes sometimes is one or two people from a traditional salon leaving the salon to go independent. And then what they have, what happens is people like to talk. And one stylist will tell their 20 other friends that work in another salon. And there becomes a little bit of a domino effect. And I think that is the trend in beauty right now that that is sort of, it's exciting from where we sit at Sola. But it's something that all folks that are looking to enter the beauty franchise space should start to look at. And you want to start to look at your list of options of what franchises are available. Of course, I'm partial to Sola, but there's a reason why I'm partial to Sola. I think the movement is happening in real time. And it's a result of what happened in 2020, and it's happening in tenfold in 2023. So I think it's just an exciting time to be in the space that we're in.
We've always seen it as one of our strongest performing categories. So we at Franet love the beauty space. Anything that you would add to that, Larry?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I was thinking about when Jordan was speaking, you know, it's not about being in business with everyone that needs what you have to offer, but being in business with people who value what you value. And I think that alignment makes life flow so much easier. And, in this industry, it does seem and no different than the real estate industry. It's quite scattered. There's numerous models. There's numerous plans. And but that alignment of valuing what you value, I think, is kind of the measurement of, you know, what we're trying to do here, to make a difference in these pros' lives.
There's definitely several themes that are blending here. I think about the culture theme, the empowerment theme. How does a franchisee in Sola Salons go above and beyond? And I'm going to ask you first, Larry, for what you do. And then, Jordan, I'd like a broader perspective of what you see. And, you know, it might be tied to corporate social responsibility or other things, but it's like above and beyond for your own customers or for the community.
Yeah. So, the simplicity of this almost frightens me. The need to show up, to be there, to show up, and show up with some intention. Show up with an intention of making a difference for them that day. Show up with some intention of doing something that's unexpected. You know, show up and be in their listening. And when we do show up at that level, things happen. You know, it's not just I'm here in case something happens. I'm here to make a difference and make something happen today that wouldn't have ordinarily happened if we haven't been inquisitive about, you know, what we're up to. Because I think I love that Jim Rohn quote. I don't know if I remember, but your level of success is kind of rarely exceeds your level of personal development. And because success is something you attract by the person you become, it's like it's changing that whole thing of like, I'm the landlord, you're the tenant. It's not that. You know, who can we become together to be something more than we could if we didn't meet?
You know, if I go back to my book for a moment, I got to interview over 30 CEOs of top franchise systems. Then I interviewed their top 1-4% franchisees. And Larry, I can tell you, you sound like the vast majority of top franchisees I interviewed. I'm excited to watch you grow, because like you have the right mindset, the right attitude, the right focus on the people who matter in your business. So it's exciting to hear this. This is great. Mm-hmm. Jordan, your perspective, anything else?
I echo a lot of what Larry said. I think we measure success in the individual studio, in the individual studios and the locations. We measure success on longevity of tenure of a professional staying at Sola. That to me is a sign of success, right? And you can quantify that. You could put numbers behind it. But I think the point that Larry's making is it doesn't happen by accident. It takes intentionality, but it is the simple things. The beauty of this business is it's in many ways a much easier business than others, but it's not simple. Easy, but not simple. Very important distinction. And the simple things in this business matter. Care matters. And being a support and empowering to your professionals matter. And I'll just tell you a very, very quick story that really hit home to me when I was new at Sola. I've been at Sola for about 2.5 years. When I first joined, I was driving in the car with another one of our Canadian franchisees, a gentleman named Kevin. He owns several locations in the Toronto market. And I'm driving in the car with Kevin, and I'm new. So I'm just listening and I'm absorbing and I'm learning. I'm trying to understand, you know, what is the a day in the life for a franchisee? What's it like to visit locations? And you know, I walked the locations with Kevin, and Kevin walks into the locations. Everyone's giving him a hug. So great to see you. He knows everything about their family, their kids. Let's get a drink sometime. You know, it was like, it was something quite special. But what really gave me goosebumps and taught me everything I needed to know about the business, when you talk about above and beyond and what makes somebody successful, we're sitting in the car and he gets a phone call. And Kevin says to me, do you mind if I take the call? Well, of course I don't mind. Take the call. Takes the call. And it's a prospect, a beauty professional that is looking to rent space from him. And he's already met this beauty professional, toured the location. He already knows her. And at one point, this is on speakerphone, she says, Kevin, I'm scared. And I get goosebumps right now, even just telling this story. And the amount of care and passion that he had in his voice. And he said, I don't recall her name anymore, but, you know, essentially, you know, we're in this together. I'm going to hold your hand through all of this. I'm here for you. Your success is my success. And in that just quick moment, I understood what made a Sola franchisee successful. And I understood in one moment exactly what above and beyond means. Above and beyond is simple. It's very simple. In other businesses, it may be a little bit more complex, but in this business, it's simple. If you just care, that goes a long way in this brand. Now, if Kevin had taken that call and said, and she had said, you know, I'm scared. And he said, okay, well, call me back when you're ready. And I can imagine other business owners in the world saying something like that. You know, we're here when you're ready. Call me back. That's not how this business is successful. And so I think it's an important story to really highlight, you know, it is a simple business. It is an easy business, but it takes work. It takes work. But it's the little things. I loved how Larry said, it's the little things.
I love also where you both mentioned intentionality. And one of my favorite sayings from Vince Lombardi, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. So what you just shared, Jordan, about, you know, we're in this together, that speaks back to the interdependence of the franchise or franchisee relationship. And as you just also, you mentioned earlier today, you take that down to the client level, which is really, really cool. As we wind down, gentlemen, I'd like to ask you each a question. That's one of my favorite questions to ask. And we'll let you go first, Jordan. What have I not asked you that you would ask you?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
as it pertains to our listeners in Canada, in the franchise industry, either prospective franchisees or franchisors learning from your excellence.
Yeah, I don't know so much that's a question. It's more of just an excitement that we have right now. You look at what Sola has done in the United States, and it's wildly successful, but it's also that there's just major markets that are sold out. You're done. You know, you talk about franchise systems, and many people will look at a brand and say it's too late. And we hear that all the time in different brands. I've been part of a lot of great brands, and they're sort of like, you wish you had done this a few years earlier, 5 years earlier, whatever it is. And I think there's an excitement right now that I certainly feel for Canada, because it's a wide open frontier. And so, you know, if you're in many markets, we're only right now two major markets in Canada. And so if you're looking at the Canadian market from east to west, talk about white space, you know, but we're looking for folks that understand that they're at the beginning, that are excited. This isn't for everybody. You know, you want to be excited that you found the next big thing for Canada and that you can bring it there. You know, it's early adopters right now. We're looking for the people that have the fire in their belly, that want to be part of something from the ground floor, that frankly see what happened in the United States and say, I have a vision and this is what's going to happen here if I get in now. There's other people that are in the wait and see mode. And wait and see doesn't always work out for everyone either, because you wait and see 5 years down the road, Toronto's gone, Vancouver's gone, you know, Calgary's gone. You go down the list, but they're not gone today. And so, you know, not so much a question, more of just an excitement that I have to talk to you about what's happening in Canada as the next frontier for us as the Sola brand.
Well, thank you for that. And Larry, your perspective on that same question, what have I not asked you that you would ask you?
I think, you know, one of the things that I find this pretty personal, this conversation today. So one of the things that, you know, I'm on about is, you know, literally you could say, like, Larry, what's your big why? Like, what excites you? What makes you tick? And, you know, I just know that for me, it is about elevating lives. It, you know, it's kind of holding people so big that they, you know, that you see more in them than they see in themselves. And it's in that that I'm driven. So all the things that we've talked about today are based on how I want to show up when I open up my eyes in the morning and put my feet on the floor. And I think that I want because I'm wanting to do this with my daughter, and I think she's just the most exceptional person. And I just want her to, you know, to play in that environment with others, with you know, all the great owners that I've had, you know, Kevin Lent and Avery and Ron Magnuson and Steve Hunt and like some of the just great guys. I want her to be in that game, you know, with me and share that together. And so it's the big why question that I, you know, it's what I'm on about.
And there's also a sense of community. It's not just in with what you just mentioned, all the people, the franchisees that are there, again, back to interdependence. Yes. I think, you know, I would love to be able to continue talking. There's so much more we could talk about, but we do have to wind down this episode. So thank you very much, both of you, for joining us today. That's a wrap, folks. Thank you for listening. Gary Prenebo with Franet. Thank you for joining Franchise Canada Chats today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Canada Chats. Catch up on every episode of Franchise Canada Chats on SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your audio media. For more franchising resources, including how-to articles, expert advice, franchise success stories, and franchise opportunities, visit franchisecanada.online. Don't forget to subscribe to Franchise Canada eNews while you're there. You can also learn more about franchising at cfa.ca and connect with specific franchise opportunities at lookforafranchise.ca.